After the craziest conference tournament weeks that we have had in at least 25 years, the brackets have been announced. It's time to fill out your Cinderellas, figure out who's going to win this tournament, and see if you can beat the sixth-year seniors.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm
getting tired of losing to Purdue! I'm not here to round this week!
That's why I got a college scholarship! That's why I was an All-American at Michigan!
It's Division I football! It's the Big 12!
Now there's so many ways to make love, a million ways. I better make it enough.
Go play intramurals, brother.
Oh, yeah. I could give a shit about North Carolina right now.
Mikey, how you doing?
I'm good. We're live from the sports book in Reno. This is a happening. Even if Carolina lost yesterday, we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's Selection Sunday. It's one of the best days of the year. We're fired up. We got the steaks. We got the beer. We're good to go, buddy.
Yeah, we are literally, I guess this would be called Sixth-Year Seniors Mountain West.
We'll call it that. It's home base. It's the spiritual home base.
The conglomeration of Mikey's shoot job and my shoot job have actually put us in the same place at the same time for one of the best shows that we do all year long.
Absolutely.
Before we get to the actual bracket, of course, there has to be gambling involved, or at least trying to win things.
Quasi-gambling.
Go to ESPN, type in sixth year seniors bracket challenge and join our bracket challenge and try to beat the seniors, Mikey and I, and all your fellow listeners.
Absolutely. Share it with everybody. It's a public group. Just come on. Come one, come all. We'll whoop all your asses. So it's all good. Fly across the ocean and come get you
come,
some.
Come get you some.
Absolutely.
You fly across the ocean to play bracket challenge, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Absolutely. About to come down the elevator getting that thing.
All right, let's get to the bracket. Anyone who's been following college basketball for the last 2 weeks knows that the conference tournaments have been lights out fantastic and not going to form at all. In total, 21 of the 32 conference number one seeds lost during their tournament. I believe it was 18 didn't even make it to their final game.
The conference tournaments were extra spicy this year. It was extra good. And we see that in the bracket, how it broke out, where we have playing games on the 10 line, and there were some good teams that were unfortunately left out. And one team that somehow freaking got in, which we'll get to when we get.
Yes, Mikey's already mad about that, and I don't blame him. Especially since there were, I don't know, about a dozen more deserving teams than this one.
There were at least eight. There were at least eight on my list right out of the gate that absolutely deserved to be in ahead of this certain team. And if you've paid attention to the bracket release, you already know which team it is. But we're going to get into it in a little bit because I'm fired up.
All right, well, let's get to the Eastern bracket where you're defending national champion University of Connecticut Huskies open against first-time NCAA participant Stetson.
That's the school with the hat, right? The big hat?
That's the school with the hat, yes. Yes, that's how they're all known now, the school with the hat.
The school with the hat, sir, absolutely.
Stetson won the Atlantic Sun after number one seed Eastern Kentucky was knocked out, I believe, in the first round, if I remember correctly.
Whatever the first game they played, whatever round that was the round they were knocked out in.
And that was one of the first tournaments there was.
It was a sign of things to come.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'm at a loss for words here. When we're live, pal.
Oh, we're live, pal. Absolutely. Can I start over?
No. No, you cannot. There's only limited things I can do as the best producer in the business on this show right now.
It's going to be a shit show, I'm sure. But it's fine. It's fine. It's the thought that counts.
So thank you, Stetson. You made it. Congratulations. Enjoy the show. Don't get embarrassed by Connecticut. That's the best we can say.
They're going to get embarrassed by Connecticut, but that is what it is.
Well, okay, define embarrassed.
If they're shit pushed in by 40 points.
Oh, okay, so...
It's going to be one of those.
So if I remember correctly, you're already claiming that's going to be an easy victory against the spread for Connecticut.
I think for Connecticut, yeah. I haven't seen the line on it yet. I did not scroll. I was taking my time. I know that's a Friday game in Brooklyn.
How about 26.5 is lay the opening
points.
Number?
Lay the points. It's going to be a massacre.
The winner of that game will face the winner of Florida Atlantic and Northwestern. There's your first 8-9 matchup in the East.
UConn got an interesting draw here. They got FAU from last year's Final Four. We'll talk about San Diego State in a minute. But I think they got a favorable. I think FAU is overseeded by two lines here. And I don't like Northwestern, but I'm inclined to lean towards the Wildcats just on principle alone here. I got FAU -2.
This is the first time immediately I knew that South Florida was in trouble. Florida Atlantic being an 8. And of course, as we all know, South Florida didn't make the tournament, but some team did, go figure. The American regular season champions did not
make the tournament. We've shifted some team, by the way. That's fantastic. It's off my shoulders now. That's great.
Yeah, South Florida should have at least been in some team's play-in spot.
The conference, the conference tournaments breaking the way they did just massacred the bubble. It was bid thievery all over the place.
On the other two games in that region, you have Auburn against Yale. That's your 4-13 and your 5-12, as Mikey mentioned. San Diego State taking on UAB. Yale wins the Ivy League against upstart Brown, who knocked off number one Princeton with a last-second tip-in at the buzzer.
At the buzzer, absolutely. That was a good finish there. I don't think Yale has anything for Auburn here. I like how Auburn's playing right now. They took advantage of a broken SEC tournament bracket and kind of ran away with the tournament. They're favored by a dozen right now. I like Auburn coming out of this little pod to take on UConn later. I think UAB can beat San Diego State.
Really?
I do. I think UAB's frisky.
They're frisky, but they just don't have enough offense. I think San Diego State's going to be able to shut them down pretty easily. This isn't your typical San Diego State team defensively, but they're a little better offensively, which makes up for that defensive deficiency. San Diego State is going to be a tough out, even for Auburn. I don't think they'll have anything for Connecticut, but they might be able to give Auburn a good run.
I think UAB +7.5 is hot. That's me. I think that's too many points. I think UAB can keep that close.
Yeah, 7.5 is a big number. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not that number by Friday when they play. By the way, that game's in Spokane.
Yes, Friday slate. I like that. San Diego State probably wins that game, but I don't think either one of those teams have anything for Auburn. I think Auburn gets out of Spokane pretty comfortably.
On the other side of that Eastern bracket, your 2 seed is Iowa State. They face South Dakota State Thursday in Omaha.
Is this a case where Iowa State looked so good in the tournament, in the Big 12 tournament, that they're on upset alert here? I don't think South Dakota State's not going to beat them. But can the 7-10 winner, Washington State and Drake, is this a letdown opportunity for Iowa State in... And this is a home, it's a home regional for them. I don't see that happening, but it was one of those deals where we see in the NFL playoffs every year, there's always a team that looks too good on one weekend and then gets got the next weekend. Is Iowa State that team? I don't know. It doesn't feel like it, but something just smells off with the Cyclones.
Well, there's a couple things going on here. One, they fall into the perfect betting scenario of if a dog wins a conference tournament final and then is a favorite in the first round of the NCAA tournament, you bet against them. Iowa State obviously was a dog in beating Houston. The line's 16.5, so there's plenty of wiggle room here between Iowa State not covering and Iowa State advancing. Second thing, in that Big 12 title game, Houston, we know they've had some injuries. We know they have a short bench. I think that as soon as that game got out of hand, Houston didn't care if they lost by 10 or 30. So don't look at that as Iowa State being that great, as Houston just not caring.
And I think there's going to be a lot of people thinking that this week. But I think the line here at 16.5, I think Vegas is getting ahead of that. I think the Joes are going to look at that and say, oh, Iowa State, they just kicked the crap out of Houston. And that it's only 16.5 is a red flag.
Vegas knows what you know that Vegas knows that you know.
Exactly.
We mentioned the other half bracket is Washington State and Drake. Drake winning the Missouri Valley Conference, which meant Indiana State did not make the tournament, even though they deserved to be there. Washington State, what, they got knocked out in the semis of the Pac-12, if I remember correctly.
I think so. I got Drake -1. It's as a home game for Drake, too. Iowa school. I think it's setting up for a Drake-Iowa State, Iowa on Iowa violence in the second round.
Well, you see, okay, I've got Washington State as a 1-point favorite.
Oh.
So I think it's going to depend a lot on what book you're looking at, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if we end up going off at pick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, and I think it is a pick. It's a coin flip game.
I don't see either team, though, being able to have enough offensively to get past an Iowa State defense.
I don't either. I don't either at all. And those Iowa State guards, they're a little bigger. They can make plays. There's just too many bullets in the chamber for the Cyclones right now. They're humming along. They're humming along good.
Yeah, especially if they get that little scare in the first round. Then there won't be a lackadaisical approach in the second round.
Yeah. Yeah, I could totally see South Dakota State leading Iowa State at halftime of the first game, and then Iowa State blowing them out in the second half.
On the other half of that bracket, your three is Illinois, the Big Ten champion, playing against Morehead State. The 6-11 matchup is BYU and Duquesne. Both those games are Thursday in Omaha.
How did Duquesne get an 11 seed?
No clue. I mean, aside from winning the Atlantic 10 title as, I believe, a 6 seed or something like that, the Atlantic 10 tournament was another one that just got destroyed.
Yeah. VCU was the 5. They beat VCU. Then VCU was the 5.
I think that's what it was.
I mean... That Illinois-Wisconsin game was fun as hell. They got up and down the court. It was they were getting after it.
Yeah, it was fun unless you had Wisconsin +4.5.
Sore spot. My bad.
BYU, I think, should be able to just drill Duquesne. I think they'll just be happy to be there. Morehead State might be able to give Illinois some issues just because they're going to slow that game to a crawl.
Yep.
It wouldn't surprise me if this is one of these games that Illinois ends up winning like 50-37.
Oh, God.
Because Morehead will try to keep Illinois to the fewest amount of points that they can score, even if that prevents Morehead from scoring themselves.
Absolute minimum. Illinois is going to want to get out and run in this. This is a bad matchup for Morehead. And the only way they have a shot here to hang around is to slow this down to an absolute rock fight, and I don't see Illinois having that. But I do think that keeps the final margin in a manageable place. I don't know if I'd touch that game. 13 right now, stay away.
And we're starting to see some totals roll in here. As we speak, nothing yet on Morehead and Illinois, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's about 125. Five or something.
I've got DraftKings. Oh my God. DraftKings has it at 149.
That's insane. Grab the under on that right now.
That's a lot of points.
You know, Morehead's only going to score about 50, maybe 60 tops. Now you're asking Illinois to score 90?
Yeah.
No, that's an immediate under. In fact, just as I see this flashing, it's gone from 151 to 150.5.
There you go.
Illinois-BYU will be a fantastic second-round matchup.
That's a good
matchup. I'm already drooling for that one.
That's a really good matchup. I hope that happens.
So as we move away from the East, just to let you know, I do have 7 future tickets still alive to win the NCAA title. Maryland, thanks for showing up all year. I don't know the last time I had a future ticket that I bet in November that did not at least make the tournament. Maryland, thank you.
You should have asked me about Maryland. Just never trust. Maryland is bad juju all around. Just horrible. Come on.
I have Auburn and Illinois on future tickets. I believe they're both sitting about 60 to 80 to 1. And I really like Auburn right now, especially fully healthy.
Absolutely. Are we talking about who's coming out of the East at this point?
Sure, why not?
I think Auburn beats UConn.
I'm with you.
I really do think... This is not an easy bracket for the overall number one seed in the tournament. Now, I preface this by saying...
No, but they did give the easiest bracket to who should be the overall number one team in this tournament.
Get to that later, all right? We'll get to that later. Maybe that's why they did. Maybe they were throwing you a bone here. On the other side of the bracket, you're only going to play one of those teams. Iowa State is a load. I think if Illinois were to match up with UConn, I think that would be a wildly entertaining game. But I think Auburn has the dudes who can give UConn a problem.
Yes.
And they can shoot the rock and they can get nasty down low. I think that game there is the one that if UConn's going to get hung up somewhere, I think that's the game. As hard as it is to do this back-to-back years, it hasn't happened since Florida did it 17 years ago. It was 15 years before that when Duke did it. And then you got to go back to UCLA back in the old days. It is hell to go back-to-back. And the pressure is going to be all on the Huskies. I know it's a home game for them. I'm going to call it. I think Auburn knocks them off. The draw's tough. That's a tough, tough draw for you. I think Auburn's underseed. I thought Auburn should have been a 3-seed. They won the SEC. Like they went on a tear in the SEC. There was a different team that got the 3-seed that we'll talk about in a little bit that should have been Auburn. Actually, I would have liked to see that other team play UConn because that also would have been fun as hell. I like Auburn here, and I like Auburn to beat Iowa State too.
I would love to see Auburn and Illinois for personal betting reasons come out of there. But I'm with you. I think Auburn can beat Connecticut, and then regardless of whether it's Iowa State, Illinois, or BYU, that's going to be a hell of a matchup in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
If I have to make a choice, I guess I have to go with Illinois because that's who I have my card on from back in November. But truthfully, Iowa State scares me. They are really, really good. They've got just enough offense and a really incredible defense. I don't think they'll ever go some team and not be able to score enough points to come back from a deficit.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
That's a solid.
If I'm UConn, I'm pissed with that draw.
Yes, I agree with you. By the way, the total on South Dakota State and Iowa State is 133.
Doing the math in my head real fast.
133 and a 16, that's 117. That's about 58 to 74.
That sounds about right.
There's one digit missing there, but we're close enough. We're not splitting half points because you can't score a half point in basketball.
Not last I checked anyway.
So the winner of the East will go and meet the winner of the West, where the number one seed is your North Carolina Tar Heels.
I was planning on strutting up in here today and bragging about how my North Carolina Tar Heels swept the ACC, swept Duke, and swept NC State back to under that rock where they belong. But goddamn, the Woofies went on the run of a lifetime. They're going to talk about this for 40 years, just like they've talked about winning the 83 title for the last 40 years because they ain't got jack shit else to talk about. But we'll talk about the Woofies later. Carolina was very impressive against Florida State on Thursday in the quarters. They grinded out a win over a good Pitt team who also belongs in this tournament ahead of some team. A Pitt team that's a bad matchup for Carolina. And I thought everything was set up for them to play the villain Saturday night, and it just didn't happen. But the way Arizona fell off, Tennessee fell off early in their conference tournament, it was sort of Carolina's by default, Bob. By the time they gave it. They hadn't lost a game since they released that stupid mock bracket back in mid-February or whenever it was until last night. So I think they got it right. I'm biased, but I do think they got it right here. And they get a play in the first round.
Well, especially since both Arizona and Tennessee fell apart in their conference tournament.
Yes, Tennessee got shellacked. It was embarrassing.
And Arizona just didn't care, and it was obvious. That's just it. There were a lot of number one seeds in the big conferences that didn't care. Now, it still didn't explain what happened in the little conferences, but in the big conferences, Houston, Arizona, Tennessee, There might be Connecticut slept walking through theirs lost. And Purdue. Yeah. Well, we do. Purdue's just setting you up for a second round game that they're going to lose. But we'll get to that. So North Carolina, as you said, will play the winner of Howard and Wagner. We thought for a while, with all this conference tournament mayhem, that maybe the historically black colleges and universities might get out of the play-in game. But especially in the MEAC, where North Carolina Central and Norfolk State lost in the semifinals, it pretty much doomed the winner of the MEAC to get into the play-in game.
I thought they might throw them a bone just based on bracketing geography. I had just for geography purposes only, I had Grambling going to Memphis to play Houston. And I thought maybe they'd throw Howard into Charlotte to play Carolina, but it wasn't meant to be. But this shouldn't be a problem for Carolina, but we saw a one seed lose to a play-in game last year, so you could never take it for granted.
Well, let's go to the play-in game itself. Howard and Wagner. Howard is a 2.5-point favorite. Wagner was another conference champion that came out of nowhere. I'm trying to... What conference are they in?
Wagner's Northeast Conference, right?
There you go, yeah. Merrimack. That's right. Merrimack was the number one. So I don't know. I mean, the total is 127. Howard minus 2.5. It'll probably be a entertaining game to watch, but also probably pretty sloppy and not that good.
The tip. I'm distracted right now. The tip times just came out, so Mikey's checking on his Tar Heels. 2:45 Eastern, 11:45 a.m. local time Thursday. They'll be playing while I'm at the shoot job.
You and that shoot job, man. You got to deal with that. You got to take vacation days, man.
Well, that's a whole different story. We'll talk about vacation days in about 15 minutes.
The winner of North Carolina in the play-in game will play Mississippi State or Michigan State. And how the hell, other than name recognition and photos of baby doll, did Michigan State get into the tournament?
That Michigan State's a 9 seed is curious. When I was breaking down the bubble today, I listed everybody out. I started looking at KenPom, net rating, record versus tournament teams. And as I went down, like Michigan State was the first one that popped out and said, this is a tournament team. And like, but I know it's Michigan State. I know they're not a tournament team. But I look at the numbers and the numbers don't lie for you at Samoa Joe at Sacrifice. Michigan State, I think that's how they got in. It's their numbers look too good. Let me pull it up here. 19 in KenPom, 24 in net. They weren't leaving the Spartans out. That's what it just comes right
now. They left a 29 net ranking out of the tournament.
Let's see. Well, they had a 45 KenPom. Michigan State's got a 19. That was the difference there.
Some team has a KenPom of 69.
And some team doesn't belong in the tournament. And like I said, you talk about pictures of baby doll. That's where it's at. I thought Tony Bennett was trying to. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Edit that out. Oh, we're getting ahead of ourselves because I have a theory on that when we get there. I'm pulling for Sparty here because I think Mississippi State's a bad matchup for Carolina. So that's all I got to say about that.
Michigan State is a 2-point favorite right now. The total is 130. I have a feeling this is going to be a rock fight that's going to be boring as hell.
Get you. Oh, God, that was a total low. Maybe some team does need to hang around. If we're having totals like that. Oh, I see the some team total. We're not. God, that's horrible. I like Cowbell there, and I like him comfortably. That win over Tennessee was impressive. I know Auburn got him the next day, but Mississippi State's a under the radar. You know, we've been banging on the SEC a little bit, saying there's 3.5 good teams all year long. I think Mississippi State's good enough to win a couple of games, and they could give Carolina a problem.
On the other side of that bracket, you've got four teams that can run and gun and will be a lot of fun to watch. It's 4 Alabama against 13 Charleston and 5 St. Mary's against 12 Grand Canyon, both those games Friday in Spokane.
I'm going to pat myself on the back. I blew my own horn on Twitter, like Arn Anderson said, toot. I called these matchups down to the location dead on. All four teams and the location. If I have any luck whatsoever in picking games, I think the favorites get out here, but I don't think it's going to be easy for either one.
Alabama right now is a 10.5-point favorite. St. Mary's a 4.5-point favorite. If you enjoy fast-paced breakneck action, the total on Charleston and Alabama is 172.
Let's go get it, baby. Absolutely.
That's going to be a lot. Alabama-St. Mary's would be a hell of a second-round matchup. But do not look past Grand Canyon. They're smart. They're athletic. And while St. Mary's is also smart and athletic, this is, I think, a bad matchup for St. Mary's, as this is also kind of regional conference mayhem. This is the West Coast Conference versus little brother Western Athletic Conference.
I know y'all stayed up and watched the end of the game last night, where we had body block, we had shoulder tackles, and guys throwing basketballs at each other.
Yeah, that was the Tarleton, Grand Canyon, Tarleton.
Arlington. UT
Arlington. But the day before.
Oh, there were shenanigans on that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, good God. I missed that. Grand Canyon, you know, playing heel in the territory. I love it. Let's book some heat here. I got Bama getting out of here. I think it'll be entertaining all around, though. I think that's a fun little pod.
Wait, you have Bama getting out of that pod?
Out of the pod.
Okay. Yes, okay. On the other side of the bracket, your number two is Arizona. They're facing number 15 Long Beach State. That is Thursday in Salt Lake City. Interesting tidbit here. Long Beach State fired Coach Dan Munson about 2 weeks ago, but has let him continue to coach the team, which is now in the NCAA tournament.
Good God. How does that even happen? It's just, what are we doing out here, people? Come on.
How does Dan Munson let this happen? If I'm Dan Munson's agent, I'm starting to renegotiate this firing thing and say, dude, you want me to coach on Thursday? You're giving me an extension and bringing me back.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're holding over you now. Arizona's favored by 20 in that game. I don't think it's going to be close.
Their opponent in the second round will be either Dayton, the 7 seed, or Nevada, the 10 seed. Nevada, however, is a 1-point favorite over Dayton.
I had Nevada as a 7. That was the big miss on my bracket. That was the one that really skewed me over. They screwed the Mountain West. All Mountain West got their 6 bids, but everybody was like 2 lines lower than I thought they were going to be. I like the Pack here. They're playing their best basketball here late in the season. I know they got bounced by Colorado State in the Mountain West tournament. Dayton not playing their best basketball right now. I like the Pack here.
Me too. And frankly, what you said about the Mountain West getting seed deprived, Vegas knows better, because also on this side of the bracket is number 6 Clemson against number 11 New Mexico, and New Mexico is a 1-point favorite.
Also, I also missed New Mexico by a line, too. I do like Clemson in that game, though. And that's absolutely ACC bias. But when Clemson's playing their best, they can beat anybody in the country, aside from maybe the big three. But PJ Hall is a pain in the ass. I think Clemson's just a little too much for New Mexico. I don't care what Vegas says. That's what Billis said. Jay Billis said over here on the TV a little while ago, I think Vegas screwed up. Or who somebody said
it. It was Billis.
I think they screw up here. Wrong team's favorite. I'm taking the Tigers.
And actually, as I look at the line now, it's all the way up to 3.
Oh, man, so, maybe we wait a little longer then.
So here's the gig. New Mexico also falls into that consideration of conference tournament dog winning and then being a favorite in the NCAA tournament. However, that's always been considered a Vegas favorite, but they are not a tournament favorite according to the NCAA. That's interesting, because there's another team we're going to look at in a bit who falls into the same category.
No, New Mexico makes the run in the Mountain West, and they're a little too, they got to come back east. They're playing in Memphis here. I like the Tigers.
Well, you know, at 3, I would take Clemson. If I can get a possession, I'd take Clemson. It'll be a close game.
It'll be a good game.
The 3-14 is Baylor and Colgate. Colgate, one of the few number one conference tournament seeds to actually win their conference tournament.
Very good point. Tough draw with Baylor here.
I like Baylor a lot. I think they're underseeded. I think they're underappreciated. And maybe it's because, again, they are one of those teams that I have locked in from November on a very big ticket.
So you think Baylor's the team that should have taken Marquette's 2 seed? That's what you're saying?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Marquette's not deserving at all of that, too. We'll get to that.
That would have required some juggling around because all the Big 12 top seeds here. But, yes, yeah. I got you.
Yeah, I think they can give Arizona a run because of their tough defense. They'll definitely clean up on either Clemson or New Mexico. If I had to, I'm going to say Baylor's coming out of that bracket. And I'll take Alabama on the top side. Again, a little bit of, you know, money in pocket. But I think Alabama can outrun North Carolina.
I think Carolina's got too much defense for Alabama and too much discipline. Bama's stupid. They make dumb plays. They can't get out of their own heads sometimes. I'm biased. I'm taking Carolina there. Straight up. I ain't going to lie. And I'm also by bottom of the bracket. You like Baylor, and I like Baylor too. But there's one conference who consistently delivers in every NCAA tournament, and that is the Atlantic Coast Conference. And they've been getting banged on all year long. Clemson knocks off Baylor and Memphis. I'm calling it now.
Oh, dear God. No, Clemson isn't even making it out of the first round.
Clemson is knocking off Baylor and Memphis.
Clemson doesn't deserve to be in the tournament.
The ACC has been disrespected all year long, and when it comes right down to it...
How can you say they're disrespected when some team got into the tournament?
That's a whole different conversation whatsoever.
So that's one half of the NCAA tournament bracket. That means it's time to take a break.
I got Carolina over Arizona, by the way. Just going to throw that out.
Okay. Right. I knew you had Carolina over somebody.
Yeah.
If you want to take a break from all this degeneration of gambling that you've been doing over the last couple of weeks while we've been hanging out in Reno, I swear to God, I need a bath when I get home. But I might also want to take a vacation. If so, who might I call?
If you need to use your vacation days, and you should have this week, hit up our girl Wendy Prater at Magical Journeys Travel. Whether it's Florida, California, all-inclusives in the Caribbean, get on a boat, go north, go south, go east, go west, go to the Midwest, go and visit all of the NCAA corporate champions or whatever it is. Hit up our girl, Wendy Prater at Magical Journeys Travel. Custom-made itineraries for you and your traveling crew, where you need to be, not need to be, dining options, entertainment, all that stuff. She can take care of it. WP Magic Journeys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the usual social media spots. She'll take care of you. Hit her up and tell her that 60 or Senior sent you. She will give you $25 off your next trip deposit. Wendy Prater at Magical Journeys Travel. She makes the plans. You make the memories. Use your vacation days.
Yes, definitely. Use your vacation days and stop waking up early in the morning and working way too many hours and still trying to cram gambling into your day. It does not work.
It's not healthy.
It is not healthy. Another thing that may not be healthy is being on the NCAA selection committee because... I just popped Mikey right here live.
Pearl Harbor job.
We're live, man.
We're live as hell.
Contain yourself. Apparently, according to the NCAA Tournament Committee chairman, the committee was up until 2:30 a.m. the morning before Selection Sunday and then back at work at 7:30 a.m. to put this bracket together, which includes some egregious errors. Mikey, you already mentioned how well you did with your bracket. How long did you work on your bracket?
It was about 1 hour during the A-10 final this morning that I put my bracket together. What did I say? Hang on, I got it written down here somewhere.
That's okay.
I can't find it. The hell with it.
I think it was 28 teams with the correct seed and region.
14 first round games called correctly. 32 by seed line. I missed it by 32, which is an average of less than a half a seed line altogether. And like I mentioned, the Mountain West screwed me. Utah State, Nevada, Boise State, I missed them by 2, 3, and 2 lines apiece. Michigan State, why is Michigan State where they're at? Missed them by 2. You know, I had them 2 seeds lower. I had your Zags 2 seeds lower. I'm biased, I know. And Florida Atlantic 2 seeds lower. Those were my big misses. Had 67 to 68 teams. I had the Johnnies in, and for some inexplicable reason, these jackasses put in Virginia. So...
Oh, we've actually named the team now.
I named the team. I figure we can go there next.
Well, actually, again, before we go there, let's go to the NIT, which is becoming a shit show of its own. There are at least, I believe, four teams that have already declined invitations to the NIT because of their new selection process that includes the next two teams that were not selected to the NCAA tournament from the Power Six conferences, the Big East, the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, the ACC, and the Pac-12? Do they still exist?
I don't think so.
But already teams are saying, no, screw this, man. We don't even want to be in. This is very interesting considering who's there and who's not, and all the number one conference seeds that should have got in if they were playing by last year's rules.
It's a shit show. It's just, what the fuck?
All right, before we get back into the other two brackets of the NCAA basketball tournament, the NIT has announced the shambles that is their tournament. 9 number one conference seeds did not make the NIT tournament. Instead, we have teams such as Xavier and Georgia in the tournament.
That Georgia and Xavier playing each other is hilarious. Xavier has a losing record! What are we doing? I'm glad that we got rid of the auto bids for the regular season champ so we could let a team with a losing record into the NIT. That's nice.
So 9 teams are left out of the NIT who would normally get in on any other year. Eastern Kentucky, Eastern Washington, High Point. That's a disgrace. That one especially. Central Connecticut, Little Rock, Toledo, Sam Houston, Quinnipiac, and Norfolk State. I hope they all get CBI berths at the very least, and that CBI tournament's going to be outstanding.
High Point got screwed, definitely. Auto bid or no auto bid, High Point got screwed.
There's a few regional violence games. Providence is taking on Boston College. Wake Forest is taking on Appalachian State.
That's fun.
That's going to be fun.
Virginia taking Richmond.
Wait, Virginia?
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. Although Virginia should.
Yes, exactly. That's Virginia's spot in the NIT that VT has.
And Central Florida takes on South Florida. So there's some games of interest. On a personal interest level, I'm shocked that San Francisco got a bid. They're playing Cincinnati in the first round game. Teams that declined to play in the NIT tournament include, apparently, St. John's, Oklahoma, Indiana, Ole Miss, Pittsburgh, and probably UCLA or Washington. How many more years are they going to do this NIT before they figure out that they've just created a shit show?
I don't know. Ever since they took it out of the Garden, it's not the same as far as the semis and the finals go. I know Fox is working on their alternate thing that they're trying to work on, which will probably be the thing that kills the NIT. If they can figure out a way to funnel more money to the big boys to actually incite them to play a secondary postseason tournament that's not the NCAA tournament, absolutely. If there's even an NCAA tournament in the 10 years from now.
So. Well, it'll be 128 teams worth.
But no, here's the thing, though. This is the tricky part. If there's an NCAA tournament in the next 10 years, there won't be 128 teams because there will be a separate tournament containing the teams from the Big Ten and the SEC who have their own national championship.
Oh, dear God. You're probably right.
It's going to be the college version of when IndyCar split.
Oh, yeah.
It was a kart series in IndyCar, yeah. And that was a shit show. And IndyCar's never been the same since.
Absolute chaos. Good. Absolute chaos.
Some breaking news. As we were editing this podcast, the CBI tournament has announced its field. We are looking at a 15-team field with 7 first-round matchups and High Point, the number one seed, getting a bye into the second round. Among the teams that are going to be in the tournament include Chicago State. Yes, our favorite lone independent. is the number 15 seed. They're going to be taking on number 2 UC San Diego in the first round. Other teams of note that probably deserve to be in the NIT include Fairfield and Little Rock, who will play each other in a first-round matchup, and Quinnipiac, a number 1 seed out of the Metro Atlantic. It starts on March 23rd. All the games are in Flow Hoops for the first 2 rounds. Then it moves to ESPN for the semifinals and final.
All right, let's get back to the big tournament that matters. Although for gambling purposes, there's also the CBI this year, or whatever they're calling it, out in Daytona Beach. 16 teams, more reasons to gamble. That's always cool. But until the NIT gets their shit together, you know, who knows? Teams may be like dropping out of the NIT and going into the CBI yes. tournament.
Yes.
And the NIT tournament may end up looking like the Jim Crockett Memorial Tag Team Tournament.
Oh my God. Well, there's that Fox gimmick that they're trying to work up to try to bust this up even more. God, the networks ruin everything.
Yeah, DePaul's gonna win that one.
Shit.
Let's get to the Midwest portion of the NCAA tournament. The number 1 seed there is Purdue. They will face the winner of play-in game Montana State and Grambling.
I think Purdue's got, beyond the play-in game, I think Purdue got a good draw here. Montana State's favored by 4 in the play-in. It's not going to matter. Purdue is not going to be the 1 seed to lose this season. Not until the second round. I like the Boilers draw here a lot. I really do.
If it were any other number 1 seed, I'd like their draw. But this is Purdue we're talking about. Purdue, who lost to Wisconsin on, if I remember correctly, it was a tip-in in the semifinals. Hey, Zach Edey, where in the hell were you?
Yeah, not near the basket. Why is he 25 feet from the basket with the game on the line here? What are we doing?
Quick story on that play-in game. Montana State was, I believe, the 5 or 6, maybe even the 7 seed coming out of the Big Sky. But the Big Sky became a high level of comedy because of Joe Craven, the color commentator there. Joe Craven, who coached, I believe, at Idaho, but more importantly at Weber State during Weber's big run. Joe's just a good old country boy, and he lets you know it. Oh, my God. My buddy and I ended up just cracking jokes the entire second half of the Montana-Montana State final about Joe Craven. We barely watched the game at all. At one point, the play-by-play announcer said that Joe Craven was a Hall of Famer. And after looking at his wiki page, there's no mention of Hall of Fame. We figured that he must be in the Hall of Fame of the local bar down the street from the arena in Sioux Falls, Idaho, where the tournament was taking place, because he ate a 3-pound burger and drank a 100-ounce beer within an hour.
It was one of those deals where there were 100 beers on the list, and he got the stamp card for all of them. So he got the license plate up on the wall, the customized license plate.
But now I'm at a point where I need more Joe Craven in my life. I'm going to see if he does Big Sky Baseball. And hell, I'll listen to Big Sky Baseball games for that.
That's fantastic.
So Purdue, if they manage to beat Montana State or Grambling, will face the winner of Utah State and TCU. Utah State is the 8 seed, though TCU is favored, I think, is by 3.
I got 3.5 here, so yeah, you're probably right. If this was any of the other 8-9 games, I'd be like, oh, all alert for Purdue in the second round. I don't see either one of these teams having anything for the Boilers.
I think Utah State can. I think Utah State's underrated, has been all year.
I think Utah State is underrated. I'll give you that.
Now, they were the Mountain West champions. And granted, they lost.
Regular season.
Yeah. Regular season. And they lost, but I mean, you know, not unusual. And that conference is so deep, it's not surprising at all. I like Utah State. They've got enough big bodies, and they run a smart, concise offense that I think can give Purdue trouble. And I'm sure they will dig somebody off their bench who is 6'9 and 270 pounds and can give Zach Edey 5 fouls in 7 minutes.
Absolutely. Make the gargoyle work for it. Good God.
On the other side of that pod, your number four is Kansas. They're playing 13 Samford. I say you're there on upset alert, even if McCullough and Dickinson are healthy, which I'm hearing rumors they are. I also hear rumors they're not. Regardless, I say Samford wins that game.
I think Samford can win that game. And I think because so many people think Samford can win that game, I think Kansas is going to win that game.
That's the problem. Yeah. My God, the line opened at 9 and it's already down to 6.5
Good
in some places.
God, come on.
See, this is just it. All these Joes have gotten smart betting the dogs and it's taken all the fun out of it. Now we have to come back and bet the favorites because the number's so small.
And then you got jackasses like Seth Davis out here on CBS saying, I think we're going to have a second round matchup of Samford and McNeese State. And he's like, get the fuck out of here. Come on.
Well, and it could happen. It's Gonzaga and McNeese in the 5-12 matchup. I'm not sure which team got screwed here. I think they both did. They both deserve lesser opponents. McNeese is not a 12. Gonzaga is not a 5.
You're saying Gonzaga is a 4.
Yes, I am.
Or a 3.
Yes.
God, you're ridiculous. I had
they beat Kentucky in Kentucky, and Kentucky's what seed?
Somehow a 3 seed. I still don't know how the hell that happened. But.
And McNeese, no, nah, they deserve more than a 12. They at least an 11. Hell, okay, here we go. You flip. I know you can't, you know, well, you could put New Mexico in McNeese's spot and McNeese in New Mexico's spot. McNeese could beat the crap out of Clemson.
That could actually work.
McNeese could take Oregon's spot and beat South Carolina. McNeese could take NC State's spot and beat Texas Tech. The only six that I think McNeese can't beat is BYU.
McNeese is good. McNeese is really good. And Will Wade knows how to coach. That's a problem matchup for the Zags.
It's going to be a fun game, but unfortunately, one of them has to lose.
I think, Seth Davis is out here running his mouth. I do think somebody gets knocked off out of those two games. I'm leaning towards Gonzaga.
No, wait, are you telling us that there will be a loser in one of these games?
That's not what I meant. Kansas or Gonzaga, pick one, gets knocked off. I'm leaning towards McNeese. I'm leaning towards McNeese pulling the upset right now. You could convince me otherwise in a few days.
On the other side of the bracket, your number two is Tennessee. They're going to play last year's Cinderella, St. Peter's.
Two years ago.
That's yes. Right. Yes. St. Peter's, who won the MAC over Fairfield in a late comeback as, I believe, the 4 or 5 seed.
Wouldn't be the first time that St. Peter's knocked off a second-seeded SEC team. Just saying. And it's not like Tennessee doesn't have choking tendencies come March. I'm not going to put them on upset alert here, but Tennessee just needs to tighten themselves up, especially after the way they no-showed the SEC tournament. That was an embarrassment.
And again, though, I think they know that they no-showed the tournament. It's not like they tried and lost. I don't think they tried.
If they win the SEC tournament, they're probably the last one seed. That's the thing. And they got their – they got punched in the mouth right out of the gate and never competed.
Okay, so here's the deal. Tell me this matters because the number two seed in the Midwest and the number one seed in the West are in the same pod playing Thursday in Charlotte.
No, I'm not saying that doesn't matter. What matters is they would be the one seed in a different in the West region. So they would not have a 3 seed to deal with in the Sweet 16. They would have a 4 or a 5 seed, best case scenario, in the top of the bracket. The bracketing path changes. The location's the same thing. I know this. The location, their first round location is the same thing. But they would have an easier path to the final four had they been the one seed. That's why I'm so happy that Carolina is the one seed. Tennessee wouldn't have to deal with Purdue if they were a one seed. Tennessee wouldn't have to deal with Creighton in the Sweet 16 if they were a one seed. That's all I'm saying.
I see no problem having to deal with Purdue, who will probably be knocked out before they get there, or Creighton. If I was Tennessee, I prefer this Midwest draw than being the number one in the West and having to possibly face Alabama in the third round or Arizona in the Elite Eight.
Well, they would have moved that up, right? They wouldn't have had Alabama wouldn't have been there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. SEC.
They would have had Duke or Kansas or Who's the other one? Or that would have been Auburn. So it would have been Duke or Kansas.
What are they going to do next year when there's like 27 teams in the SEC?
Oh, they're going to have to change the goddamn rules where it's stupid. It's so stupid. This might be the last tournament of all time, as far as I know. I don't know.
Because they already want to expand the tournament now as well. And that's how they'll get all 27 teams in. They'll create a fifth bracket somehow.
They can make eight regionals now. And then we make it the final eight and the thing. And yeah,
Jim Crockett Memorial Tag Team Tournament. I'm telling you.
God, you're probably right.
Tennessee's opponent in the second round will be either Texas or the play-in winner of Colorado State versus that team.
How is Virginia in the tournament?
Pictures of baby doll.
I'm looking at the bubble this morning. Again, when I put my bracket together in 1 hour, I've got a list of like eight teams. And now I can't find it again. It's here somewhere. I got it right here. So I had FAU, Colorado, Michigan State, Oklahoma, A&M, St. John's, Virginia, Seton Hall, Indiana State, Providence, and Pitt. And as I'm going through the metrics here, how they performed against tournament teams, KenPom, net one, the very first team that gets scratched just by looking at the numbers is Virginia. Right out of the gate. 68 KenPom, 54 net. They do not have a 500 record against tournament teams. They immediately got scratched. Indiana State got scratched after that. But Virginia was the first team that got scratched off my list, and they wound up in this tournament somehow, and I am appalled by it.
If you look at KenPom numbers alone, Virginia is the last at-large team to get in at KenPom 69. The next at-large team is South Carolina at KenPom 49.
Good grief.
Utah, Iowa, Providence, Xavier, Virginia Tech, Central Florida, Seton Hall, Washington, Bradley, Maryland, Princeton, Butler, Kansas State. They're all ahead of Virginia in the KenPom rankings.
I'm pulling up the last bit of the net here.
Maryland's 16 and 17 and has a better KenPom ranking than Virginia.
Virginia's 54. Let's see who we got ahead of here. Oklahoma's 46. Wake Forest was 43.
Indiana State was 29.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane that Virginia is in here. St. John's was 32. Colorado State's 36, and that's their opponent, right? Yeah. Not that I necessarily like the net. This is the NCAA's ranking.
Yeah, it's their own ranking.
Yes, exactly.
Just insane. So that is a Tuesday play-in game.
So let's talk. Hang on a second. I'm going on a tangent here because I've been sitting on this for 48 hours and been ranting on Twitter. If you watch the end of the Virginia NC State ACC semifinal the other night, Virginia was up by 6 with a minute left, and NC State committed a flagrant foul to send Virginia to the free throw line for 2 free throws with less than a minute left. They missed the free throws. State goes back down. Virginia fouls them shooting a 3-point shot. So State has not made any plays here. Virginia's missed 2 free throws. State makes 3 free throws because Virginia was dumb enough to foul them on a 3-point shot. So it's a 3-point game. Virginia takes a 3 with 10 seconds left on the shot clock. They're up by 3. State winds up missing another shot. Has to foul. Virginia misses another free throw. And then Virginia has 3 fouls to give. They got 3 fouls to give. Give none of the fouls. Let State go right down the court and hit a semi-contested desperation 3 off the glass at the buzzer to force overtime, to which State wins the game in overtime. I have never seen a team actively attempt to lose a basketball game minute.
You didn't see the MAC final.
Well, I didn't see the MAC final. This was a team effort, though, as opposed to one guy being stupid. This was a team effort, a coaching. There was a timeout before they had time to set up the defense to say, foul them 3 times so they can't get momentum up the court. It was that simple. Tony Bennett acted coaching like he wanted nothing to do with the NCAA tournament. And here's his penance. He gets to go to Dayton to play Colorado State I hope it's the last game Tony Bennett coaches for the Hoos. There's rumblings about him wanting to be done. He doesn't like the new NIL era, the transfer portal. Of course you can't get guys in the transfer portal. Who wants to come in and play basketball in that freaking style? Who wants to with any talent whatsoever? Of course you're not going to be able to leverage that to your advantage. Get the hell out so I can get a watchable brand of basketball back into the ACC rather than this crap that somehow got into the NCAA tournament because you got thrown as a baby doll. Damn it!
And just to further prove your point, the total in the Colorado State game is 119.
Jesus!
On the other side of the bracket, Creighton is your number three, playing Akron, who got so lucky to get out of the MAC title game. Your 6-11 is South Carolina and Oregon. Let's talk about that Kent State-Akron final. God. Kent State was your number eight seed, the last team to get into the MAC tournament. They beat Toledo in the first round. They beat somebody else in the second round. They lead Akron 51-50 after making a shot with about 5 seconds left to go. And for some bonehead reason, as Akron inbounds the ball, a Kent player leaps at the ball handler and fouls them as if they were behind. How? Akron makes both their free throws. The kid is just in absolute duress. Akron survives and advances as the 14 seed against Creighton.
Just absolutely stupid. Absolutely stupid.
He knew it. I mean, yeah. Oh my God, the kid was just so despondent.
Yep.
Jersey over his head, he was looking for some place to hide. But, yeah, Creighton, they'll have an easy time against Akron.
Yeah.
South Carolina, Oregon, Creighton's going to take on the winner of that game and probably beat them fairly easily just because both South Carolina and Oregon are bad. Tennessee's got an easy bracket here. Texas is a bunch of dumb shit as well. I mean, as long as Tennessee doesn't do something stupid, they've got an easy ride, possibly all the way to the Final Four, because you know Purdue's going to lose somewhere along the line. But that's
the problem. You said, what? Now you got ahead of yourself so far. Tennessee has the same choking tendencies that Purdue does, too. Rick Barnes doesn't exactly have the best track record in the NCAA tournament. He had a Final Four berth laid out, a golden road laid for him last year, and gave it up in the Sweet 16.
So what you're telling me is there's a chance that McNeese State can get to the Final Four.
Wouldn't be the strangest thing to happen coming out of this bracket. I'm just saying. I'd be more shocked that South Carolina came out as from the Final Four than McNeese State. Maybe, you know, I like Creighton's draw here. I'm high on the Blue Jays. Maybe I've just watched them a little bit more this year. They got guys that can shoot all over the place. I crack on Baylor Shireman for being a first team all ugly this year, but the Duke.
That was a spit take, folks.
Oh, shit. That was not intentional. But he and the boys can shoot. You got a bunch of white boys that can ball up there. I don't trust Tennessee. I think Texas knocks off Tennessee in the second round just because Rick Barnes. This is the Rick Barnes game. Rick Barnes used to coach at Texas.
Yeah, there you go.
Took Texas to the Final Four. The only Final Four he ever got to was with Texas. With Carmelo Anthony, I think, knocked them boys off in 2003. I just see Tennessee gagging this away again. And I like Creighton's draw here, actually. I think if there's a team with it laid out here, I think it's Creighton that could go out. Because if Creighton gets hot from downtown, they can absolutely beat Purdue no matter what kind of big game Zach Edey has.
Yeah, that's true. They are the most disciplined of any team in this.
And they were this close last year. They were this close to the Final Four last year. They will be out for on a mission. Do they have the depth? If they get into foul trouble, they could have some issues.
So you got, who do you have coming out of you? You know, gun to your head right now. Who you got?
I got Purdue. I don't like it, but I got Purdue.
I'm going with Gonzaga. What the hell?
Okay. It makes as much sense as anything. It's a weird bracket. I like Purdue. I like Purdue's draw, but again, Purdue could go all Purdue, and we know what happened. Well, I don't remember what the stat I was, but you go back to like 2016, in like all but one tournament, they have lost as a higher seeded team to a lower seeded team. It happens every year, and There ain't nobody else on this bracket that's higher than them. So they will lose. If they lose, they're going to lose to a lower seeded team. It's all set up again for them again to fall on their face. Can they avoid that and pull the Virginia card and turn it around 1 year ago? I think the script's too easy for that. I think they're gonna get close this year and then have the rug pulled out from under them.
There we go. It's gonna be Purdue and Virginia in the Elite Eight, and a cosmic fireball will descend and neither team will win the game.
If Virginia got to be the team that knocked off Purdue trying to get to the Final Four. The 2019 versus, oh man, rematch of the regional final.
That's
the
true.
Carson Edwards game. Yeah.
Yes.
That would be something. I would have no, God, you'd have to, it'd be like, you know, Chinese torture or whatever to make me have to watch that game. It would be horrible. You say that anymore? I don't know if you can say that anymore.
Well, yes, it was the Chinese who invented the water torture.
All right, there we are then. We're good to go.
It's not offensive. They created it. Finally, let's get to the fourth region, the South, where the best team in college basketball is the number one seed. That is your Houston Cougars, who did not care about the Big 12 title game, and that's why they lost that badly.
Now you say that Houston not caring about the Big 12 title game, that makes sense. They had their one seed locked in no matter what. Tennessee had stuff to play for. Houston, it didn't matter.
They will face Longwood.
Out of the Big South.
High Point loses, Asheville loses, Gardner-Webb loses. Longwood was your number five seed. Carnage, absolute carnage in the conference tournaments.
Absolutely.
Houston will beat Longwood by 30.
It will be.
And they may still not cover the spread. Hang on a second here.
I got 22.
They'll be close.
Total of only 127 and a half.
Yeah.
That's going to be an ugly game.
Longwood may not score 40.
That's in play. That is in play.
Houston will play the winner of Nebraska and Texas A&M. That's an interesting little matchup there. You got to root for Nebraska, right? Kensei Takanaga is just so fun to watch.
You have to root for Nebraska. The problem is if A&M can get out of their own head, they got talent on that team. They got a shit ton of talent on that team. Can Nebraska basically outsmart them to win the game? That's basically what it's going to come down to on that one. I think it's a fascinating matchup.
Wait. You're asking if somebody can outsmart Texas A&M?
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. They're going to have to out-discipline them and all that stuff.
Texas A&M can't beat anybody when it comes to smarts.
Well, there you go. That's why Nebraska's a two-point favorite right now. So I do like A&M on this game, though. I ain't going to lie. I like A&M. Just too many guys. I think an A&M-Houston matchup. That's regional beef.
Oh, yeah.
We can sell some tickets on that. Let's see if we can make that happen.
On the other side, your number four is Duke. They play Vermont.
Well, they got a home game in Brooklyn. How about that?
Shocking.
How about
shocking.
That?
And then your number five is Wisconsin against 12 James Madison. And immediately all the talking heads were talking your 5-12 upset with James Madison.
It was a little too fast for my liking. Wisconsin looked good getting to the Big Ten final. They led Illinois late before Illinois rallied in the last few minutes to come back and win the game. Wisconsin had that, you know, had that horrible stretch in February. It looked like they were actively trying to miss the tournament after getting up as high as I think 6 or 7 in the polls. I do like James Madison here, though. It's everybody's saying it, but it's hard for me to argue otherwise.
They won the Sun Belt. They've only lost 3 times all year.
They beat Auburn. This is a good team, and I think they will be up for this one. And here's the thing: I think the Duke crowd that's there will actively pull for JMU extra loud just because, you know, if we had, you know, the whole promotion relegation gimmick, JMU would be under the ACC. They would be playing to get in the ACC. So there's some regional pride there. I think this is set up for a JMU upset. And then can Duke avoid the upset on the other side? That's the question.
Yeah, like I said, immediately the CBS talking heads were like, James Madison can win that game. Well, Vegas has made line only 4.5. I think that's a fair line. Wouldn't surprise me at all if James Madison wins this game. It's not because it's a 12-5, because Madison deserves better than a 12. But it is what it is. And yeah, I can see Madison then defeating Duke. This is a good basketball team in James Madison.
It is a good basketball team, but I'm not willing to go that far and say they can beat Duke. Duke's favored to beat Vermont on the other side. I think Vermont will give Duke some issues, but Duke pulls away in the last 10 minutes and wins. The line's 11.5, at least the one I'm looking at. It sounds about right. Duke JMU in the second round could be super fun with the underdog getting a lot of heat in the building. They'll have the UConn fans there. Oh my God, them cheering against Duke will be absolutely fantastic. They go way back, the 99 final where UConn beats Duke, 2004 Final Four. But of course, you go back to the 1990 regional final where Leitner beat them at the buzzer. There's some deep history there with Duke and UConn. So that those fan bases going back and forth against each other there in Brooklyn should be super, super fun. That's if that happens, that is a great, great second round matchup. I think Duke sneaks by because, again, the ACC delivers in the NCAA tournament. I hate to say it because it's Duke, but hey, it is what it is.
On the other side of that bracket, Marquette is your number two seed. They faced Western Kentucky in the first round. That's going to be a lightning bolt of a game.
You're not high on Marquette. I'm not high on Marquette. They did manage, without Tyler Kolek, did manage to make the Big East final. But of the two seeds, I think they're the clear inferior one of the bunch.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Kolek should be back is the word.
Should be. But like I said to you before we recorded, why would anybody say that, you know, they're going to be back when you saw what happened to Florida State saying that the quarterback wasn't going to be back for the college football playoff? I think Marquette's going to win this first game. I don't think Western Kentucky's good enough to pull the upset, but again, weird things have happened before. We've seen 2-15 upsets where we've said the same thing. I don't think a 15 is up for this, and it happens. So I would say if any of the two seeds to be on upset alert, it's probably Marquette. But Western Kentucky just doesn't smell like it for me this year.
The winner of Marquette-Western Kentucky will take on either Florida, Boise State, or Colorado. Boise State and Colorado is the play-in game. And I guess here we have to talk about the injury to Micah Hangleton today. That was bad.
I was at the bar this morning. I wasn't drinking. I had breakfast literally at the bar this morning. That's where I was at. Because I have remote control privileges at the hotel.
Hey, nice.
Yeah. Nice. When I walk up, I get a glass of water, silverware, and the remote control. That's the kind of clout I carry around the city right now. And I said, hey, let's find the first game. Flipped to ESPN. The game's on. Anyway, I guess it happened as I was checking out. I left my bill on the table and walked away. And by the time I got back up to the room, the game was stopped. And then I went on to Twitter and figured out everything that was going on. Auburn wound up just running away with it in the second half. I don't know. Did that cost Florida a seed line? I don't know. I had Florida a 6. I have no idea what to expect out of the Gators here. And I think the tens, whoever wins that playing game can get by them.
I agree with you. I'm not sure how much Florida really cares about basketball right now. You can see on their faces that they tried hard in the first 5-10 minutes after that injury, but their hearts just weren't into it. For those who haven't seen the video, don't.
It was Kevin Ware. It was Sid at the one pay-per-view. It was Napoleon Kaufman. It was Joe Theismann. It was, play all the hits.
Alex Smith.
It was nasty.
Yeah, good luck to him. He's got a long recovery ahead.
How did Boise get the play-in game?
Because East Coast bias.
The Mountain West got screwed. This is East Coast bias. I ain't lying on this. You're right. For once, the East Coast bias is accurate. Because the Mountain West, like everybody, was underseeded by at least one line and half of them by two lines. It was ridiculous.
Boy's a 2.5-point dog, and I think that has money line written all over it.
That's hot.
I'm shocked that Colorado is here.
We talked about it last night. We thought Colorado was in trouble last night after they lost to Oregon.
But, you know, somehow they got in and Indiana State didn't. Go figure.
Yeah, I like Boise, too. I think Rice and Degenhart got a taste of this last year. I think they're here for more this year. And the fact that they got stuck in the playing game, that should be even more disrespect to them. They should come in there fired up for that.
Well, here's the deal. A play-in team almost always makes the Sweet 16, and here you go. They could play a disinterested Florida and then play Marquette as a favorite. We know how well Marquette performs as a favorite.
Ooh, Boise, good point.
Boise can get out of this.
Ooh, I didn't think about Marquette as a favorite. God, that's an excellent, excellent call here.
On the other side of that bracket, your three is Kentucky. They face 14 Oakland in Pittsburgh, quasi-home game for Oakland. And then the 6-11 is Texas Tech and NC State.
You know I've been high on Kentucky, higher than you on Kentucky for most of the year. They did not deserve a 3-seed. This is Auburn's 3-seed. I don't know why Auburn is not here. Rather, because Auburn wins the SEC tournament. If they stayed up till 2:30 in the morning last night working out their bracket, all they literally have to do is walk onto the goddamn board. All they got to do, take the magnet and just switch them. It's the same conference, the same damn conference. Just all you got to do is just switch them. It takes no effort whatsoever, no effort. And they put Kentucky as a 3-seed, which is an absolute joke, but it is what it is. I like Kentucky here no matter what. If nothing else, for the entertainment value here.
That's just it. Kentucky's fun to watch. They can't defend anybody. You, me, and Will Prevett could score 80 on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But who's going to beat them other than Boise? This is wide open. And again, that's why I said this has all the home cooking for Houston all over it. Just bet your life savings on Houston to make the Final Four.
Of course, that's why I don't have Houston in the Final Four. Just because I'm trying to be, you know, devil's advocate and all that stuff. Kentucky wins there. And the last game we have, the first round game we have to talk about, Texas Tech, NC State. The Wolfies making the NCAA tournament by winning 5 games in 5 days is absolutely wild. And here's the funny thing.
First time since 2011, UConn.
UConn won. And I'm trying to figure out how UConn had to win 5 games in 5 days to win their conference tournament.
Remember, that was a bloated Big East.
Kemba Walker. All right, yeah, that's fine. Bloated Big East. That's fine. They were a 3-seed in the tournament. You have to win 5 games in 5 days. How do you become a 3-seed in the tournament? Mind blown. I don't know. And I know there's 500 million teams in the league. That's all I know.
Jim Crockett Memorial Tag Team Tournament.
Good grief. NC State, one, is not as good as that UConn team. They don't have a single player on there that is Kemba Walker. But, God, the team's got heart. DJ Burns has some touch for the Marshmallow Man down inside. DJ Horn, nothing but respect for those guys. They beat so there are 5 teams in the ACC right now. No, I'm sorry. 6 teams in the ACC right now that own NCAA basketball championships. NC State's one. They beat the other 5 to win the championship this week in Washington. Second fun fact, NC State won 5 games at whatever the arena there is in D.C. It's the Washington Wizards home arena. The Wizards have won 4 games there all season long. So, State doing some kind of just weird magic. I don't know what it is. They're going to talk about it for 40 years when they don't win jack shit else between now and then. It's absolutely hilarious. But I was running my mouth last night during the game. You heard it more than anybody else. NC State is absolutely going to lose this game on Thursday when they play Texas Tech. That's probably not the last game of the night, but it is in the late slate. I didn't see the TV times just come out. So,
yeah, and right now they are a 5-point dog to Texas Tech.
Texas Tech will win and cover.
And actually, yes, I now mine is refreshed. I see that is a 6:40 Vegas start. So that is the late game. Actually, looks like there's one more later. Drake in Washington State, 7:05 p.m. We're seeing these numbers for the very first time as we record.
We're live, pal.
So who you got coming out of the South? I've already said I got Houston. There's no question.
You got Houston. I think A&M can give them problems in the second round. I think A&M can beat them. Again, this Wade is an absolute baller who is the kind of player who can take over a tournament and go and take a team on a run. I think A&M can beat Houston there. That sets up A&M and Duke, who escapes James Madison in the second round. All of this sets up what TV really wants, the Sunday lead-in to 60 Minutes.
Ah, yes.
Duke and Kentucky with a shot at the Final Four on the line. If we're going to book the territory here, let's book it right. We're going to put a couple of main eventers in here. It'll be a happening. That's what I got. With Kentucky beating the Dukies. Kentucky scoring 100. Maybe it'll be a replay of the 92, 104, 103, except it flips and Kentucky wins the game.
There you go.
At the buzzer this time. Let's do it. We'll call it Kentucky.
All right. So that is all four brackets. All of our thoughts just hours after the bracket is complete. So, Mikey, very quickly, who's your Final Four at this moment? We're talking Sunday evening.
I've got Auburn and Carolina on one side and Purdue and Kentucky on the other side.
I got Iowa State and Alabama and then Houston and what the hell, McNeese State.
Jesus Christ. It can't be all chalk. We've seen how the season's gone this year. It's been absolutely bonkers.
Oh, if more than one number one seed makes the Final Four, I will be shocked.
That's kind of how I my thought process behind all this is. Everybody thinks that Carolina's the one seed that's the weakest, but they get out of their bracket. The upsets happen somewhere else. So I got a one seed. I got two one seeds, a three and a four, which sounds about right, I guess.
All right, and I've got a two, a one, a four, and a 12. So that's it. This all starts up on Tuesday with play-in games. Works our way through April to the Final Four. We will be back with you next Monday, at which point there will only be 16 teams left in the NCAA tournament and 15 games to be played.
I just realized my flight home on Friday, I land at 11 local time, right in time for the first tips. I could block Friday off. I got a meeting in the afternoon, but I got Friday. Friday's going to be lit. It's going to be great. Excellent.
Oh man, that's you are leaving the West Coast awfully early.
Early in the morning, early to bed, early to rise. The early bird and the the worm and all those gimmicks.
Well, with all those gimmicks out of the way, I think we will leave you with that. Again, if you want to beat the seniors, an old gimmick of ours from years ago, or just join the seniors in picking your bracket challenge. Go to ESPN, type in sixth year seniors bracket challenge. Our group will pop up. Put your bracket in the group. Score more points than anybody else, and you win. What do you win? A lot of recognition.
Bragging rights. Right. That's what you win. Yeah, you don't even have to type in the bracket challenge. I think if you just get the sixth year seniors, it'll pop up. So, yeah, do that. See if you can beat the seniors. I'll be putting my bracket in there shortly. Alan's already got his in there. We're fired up. We're ready to roll.
So there you have it. Michael Watson, Alan Capps, live in person together for Selection Sunday. It was so exciting. We forgot to kind of end the show as we usually do. So for Mikey, who usually calls me the best producer in the business, I can't think of three producers or three things to talk about, but for the next 4 days of college basketball, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is Alan Capps. That's Mikey Watson. This has been Sixth Year Seniors.